My name is Mel Harlinski, and I'm going to be, I'm the project manager for DPW. And this is Bruce Bruschi. He's the project manager on the Park and Rec side.
How about that?
There you go.
You want that one?
Yes, that's the one.
There you go.
Rob Shreve is going to be presenting. He's our consultant with AECOM. He's going to talk about the project background and purpose, the goals and objectives, existing conditions, and the schematic design, which is the phase that we're in right now. And then he's going to talk about next steps. And then at the end, you guys are free to ask some questions, and I'll be monitoring the questions. We are recording this right now, just to let everyone know it's part of the OPZ requirements for a public meeting. It has to be recorded. It's just audio recorded. So I ask, if you want to ask a question, if you can please just say what your name is before you ask the question, so that we know for the meeting minutes that we'll distribute probably in about a week or two after this meeting to everyone who has an email address. Okay? And they're all the meeting minutes will also be on the Rec and Park website and the OPZ website. So without further ado, here's Rob.
Thank you, Mel. So we were brought on by Anne Arundel County to do a shoreline stabilization at the Hancock Resolution Park property. The property is about 7 1/4 acres or so. It is a parcel that's kind of offset from the mansion house. If you know the mansion house in the park, it is all, all the property is owned by the county. It is a forest, non-tidal wetlands. There are cultural resources, archaeology stuff back in there. There's the, of course, Back Creek is the stream that's there. You'll excuse me because I do have a tendency to wander a little bit. And so the riverbank has eroded about 25 feet in 20 years, so a foot a year or so. You know, if you're out there, you'll and we'll show you some pictures, but huge trees falling down. And the purpose of this project is to build a living shoreline along that eroded bank to allow the sort of the natural sedimentation processes of the creek and the vegetation to kind of stabilize that whole area without it being hardcore riprap and, you know, piles and all the kinds of things that you've seen before, I'm sure. So our goals and objectives are to mitigate the wave action, which causes a lot of that erosion, and take care and provide a vegetative stabilization of the bank so that vegetation will adapt to the tides, it'll adapt to the climate, and it'll grow in and provide sort of a living reinforcement of all the shoreline. I am going to wander up here. So this is where the mansion house is up in the green. This is the wooded parcel that's next to that. If you all know that area, I'm sure you do. And this area is the state shoreline stabilization. So this is a bayside up there, Bayside Beach. So we are having this meeting because it is the county code to have this meeting. Plus, we always like to talk to everybody. Anytime I've been out in the field out there, I get visited by all the neighbors who want to know, what are you doing? So a couple of you have my card. That man right there does. He has my phone number on speed dial. This is all the contract information about the project. I'd just say that, you know, it is not like your traditional development project. There is not big zoning issues or anything like that. It's purely an environmental stabilization project. We do expect there will be some grading because we have to tie into the shoreline. There will be grading in some wetland areas into the buffers of the wetland areas There will be a few trees that will have to be trimmed. There will not be wholesale clearing of the property. All the existing roads, and there's actually a utility access that goes back to some utility poles there. That's what's going to be used for the construction. Everything will be done on mats. I'll show you all of that. The stormwater management here, well, it's a living shoreline. We don't need to do stormwater management and that kind of stuff for this. You are here. Somebody thought of the project. Somebody got it going. Mel, and now we're under design. There will be contract documents advertised, hopefully, and we'll get under construction. And then there's usually some post-construction monitoring that has to be done, make sure everything's good, and then it'll be set for nature to take over. The existing conditions, we'll show you some pictures. The shoreline, like I said, was eroded, had very steep areas, had a lot of undercut, huge trees, but you know, you could look back 10, 12 feet underneath the root systems of nothing underneath of them. And those trees, I know, have fallen since that point in time. So there's been a lot of erosion. This is along 450 feet of shoreline. One side, the neighbors have docks and they have some bulkhead on the shore. The other neighbor down the other way, he's got a sort of a riprap stone stabilization of his shoreline. So this area really, if allowed to just go, would undermine or go around those stabilizations. So this will help stabilize the whole neighborhood. There are some wetlands there. They are dominated with Phragmites. Phragmites is the tall rush, or tall reed with the feathers at the top. It is considered a non-native invasive. It is very good at stabilizing places that are very shaky, though. So, these are the pictures of the beach. These were about, I'm going to say, a year ago. Trees falling in the river. This is the Phragmites here and here as you go around the beach. These are the undermined tree roots, and this is one of the trees that fell over. This might be the same tree. I think it is the same tree that finally fell over. A massive root crown, must be 12 feet tall, just laying on its side. Not because the tree died or anything, it just got underwashed. And so this is kind of the beach that's kind of moving out to the channel. And then there are several jumbles of trees where trees have just fallen in the windstorms, just because they don't have anything to support them. A living shoreline. This is down in Arlington Echo. This was done by the Watershed Stewards Academy, but it's a great example of something very similar to what we're proposing here at Hancock's resolution. So the stone sills, they have a little bit of a window in them. They make sort of a line that allows the water to come in. The sand and silt that's in that water has a tendency to it'll slow down because the sills kind of dam it up and it drops out. There are lots of little plants planted, little plugs of sedges and salt marsh kinds of grasses that will grow. They keep that sediment there. The windows in between the sills allow that water to flush in and flush out. The sills are really actually only about 6 inches above the high tide. So that helps break up the wave action at high tide and keeps the waves from really beating into the shore and keeps everything. preserved. This is an aerial of Arlington Echo, showing that it's kind of starting. This was right after construction, and this is showing how it's kind of filling in a couple years later. Everything will be planted up with native plants, which is good for all of our native species around here. The geese like to eat everything, no matter what. So the design plans, we have two sets in paper here, but the basics of it are, as I said, we're going to come out in off of Bayside Beach Road. We're going to follow Point Lookout Court, and where there's a utility access road, we're going to come in there. All of this area is going to be on wood mats, so the excavators, any of the equipment that will be in there will be on top of the wood mats. They won't, because the area is underlaid with cultural resources, archaeological areas, this will keep the trucks, even with the big mats, from compressing the ground, breaking anything underneath, keeps them from breaking the roots, all that kind of stuff. So it'll be a very, I'll say, gentle way of constructing if there's a gentle way, this is the gentle way to do it. The box here is just a little bit of area that the contractor's gonna get. He'll be able to bring a day's worth of work, maybe 2 days worth of materials in to do work so that he can place the stone. We may try to work with him to get him to bring material in from the creek side, and so it'll just be sand and plants that he brings in from the land side. We will be building the stone. The existing shoreline is right here. We'll be building the stone sills about 35 feet off the shoreline. They're, let's call them 5 feet wide where they touch the ground. They vary because they have to be at a certain elevation, have to have a certain slope. So depending on how the bottom varies, they may be 6 feet at times. But they will have a window. The windows in the sills, just allow a little bit of flush. As things grow in, as you kind of saw with that aerial of the more mature site, as things grow in, it'll just look like a natural salt marsh kind of area. What am I missing? This is a cross-section view. This is the existing ground, the woods. As it comes down and slopes, heads into the water. The water elevation, this is the high tide line here. I can turn it around. High tide line here. This is low tide. So you can see it's a few feet across at the bottom and just a little bit above the high tide line for the sill. And those sills they're very stable. And we fill this area behind the sill to the shore edge with sandy material and plant it up with the little plants and tie it all together. So this is a similar project that we did in False Cape down in Virginia Beach. I'm only showing you this because it was short, just like this project is. Some other projects cover a longer area. But this was actually a fairly short area. It was it had different shoreline treatments on either side of it. It was kind of being scalloped out, if you will, eroded out. So it was a very similar situation where we came and we built in the scalloped area here. We built the sills and the windows and filled it and planted it. And this is 3 years later when it grew back in. The vegetation, the little shrubs up in the more in the drier areas. I won't call them uplands.
prior areas of the wetland. But the shrubs were taken off, the grasses were taken off. It worked out really well in a very similar situation to Hancock Resolution. Impacts during construction. So this is sort of the look back at utility cut, the access back in there. We would expect, like I said, this will all be wood. We don't. There will be trees that will have to be trimmed back, most likely, because you still have to get equipment in there. And, you know, to have an arborist go out there and cut the limbs properly and maintain a healthy tree is much better than having that tree get beat up by an excavator. So these guys will come in, they'll limb up the trees so that they have good access. There might be a few trees that have to be cut. They'll be cut down at the ground level so that suckers can come back up and the tree can regrow later. And you know, if necessary, we can plant a few trees here, a few trees there. We would expect some access from the water to place the stone sill if the contractor who bids this project is capable of that. Some are not. Because it's only 35 feet out in the water, it's not hard to reach out with an excavator and place the rocks for the sills from the shoreline. They're very capable of doing that. The equipment and the material will be delivered across Point Lookout Court, which is, I'll call it a dirt road. It's got kind of gravel on it. So as I said, that'll all be maintained. And then once they turn off of that, they'll access the site on wood mats. There's probably about 6 months worth of construction, several years of monitoring that would be required probably by the regulatory agencies. Next step. Well, we're going to wait and hear some of your comments. We're going to go ahead finish up the design. This design's at about 30%. There's some more details. Most of what needs to be done is contract language. It's a lot less. The design that's here, when you see it 6 months from now, it won't look much different than what you see. We will have to get a county grading permit. We need to get the tidal wetland license from MDE to be working in the creek. The Corps of Engineers, that's USACE, needs to issue their permits. We'll have to get critical area concurrence. And then we'll advertise it for bids. And I'd like to say we're going to start construction in winter of 2024, but you know, sometimes money is what it is and time is what it is. You never know just how close you're going to get. So I will open that up for questions. I will say, just as a boilerplate, we'll keep this meeting open for questions and that kind of stuff for 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, 2 weeks. Is my email? My email's not up there.
Go to that.
It will be.
Oh, okay.
It's on the next slide.
You can email me. Or this meeting is also posted on the OPZ website, which is that link right there. And you can go on OPZ, and then it'll show the meeting, and then it'll show a comment form that you can click and fill out. And it's a two-week period.
Yes, it's not. Nope, your email's not
on.
Aren't you lucky?
If anyone wants my email, you can come after the meeting and I'll write it down for you. But yeah, you can just fill out the form online. And also, I believe some people that were within a certain radius also got a letter in the mail about the meeting, and my information should be on there.
What's the OPZ website? What's that?
Oh, Office of Planning and Zoning.
I just go to AnneArundelCounty.org and hit the search bar and say Hancock's. You'd be shocked at what comes up.
So now we're going to open up the questions. Does anyone have a question?
Can you go back one slide, please?
Of course.
If you can state your name.
Sorry. Rebecca Northup.
Did you want next steps or did you want the picture?
That was the one for the permitting. Thank you.
Yeah, right now we're currently working on permitting. And Rob mentioned that the plans are going to be like you see them. That's based on if we don't have any major comments from the permitting agencies. They could might want us to tweak something. You never know what's, you know, what kind of comments we're going to get. So just want to caveat that.
Bill Morosky, what's the ballpark number that's been budgeted for this?
Yes.
It's $500,000.
I'm sorry?
It's $500,000. It's $500,000.
Seems cheap to me.
Yeah. Wish it were cheaper.
Yeah. It might be cheap when the bids come in.
Another question? Yes?
Nancy Allred from Friends of Hancock Resolution, but also apparently there's a west small boat landing in that area. The water Anne Arundel water trail maps has two small boat landings, and my understanding is the west landing is on in that area, and so I'm wondering if that one of those windows would accommodate that. If you Google Anne Arundel Water Trail Map, it should come up. The East Landing, and I don't know, maybe it's not a big deal, because I think the East Landing is the one that's more commonly used because it's closer to the historic area.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether there are boating enthusiasts that would be...
There's no parking.
No. It's not.
Here.
There's no...
Right. But
we're
so,
not a launch.
So whatever you... You could get water access here by just hauling your kayak or whatever back with you.
You're not talking about motorized.
No.
It's a paddle in sight.
It's a paddle in, right. Yes.
Yeah, well, there's a soft kayak launch, soft launcher in the middle, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That, just to make you aware that is something that's out there, mm-hmm. and you might have some paddlers that would be...
Well, they would be able to, so the window that's right here that lines up with that trail, that also lines up where it appears that various people have launched from and paddled up and hauled out there. So we did try to accommodate that. That was one of the comments that Mel had at the very beginning of the project. And so the windows are about 12 feet wide.
Is this the in with the Office of Planning and Zoning when they plan this project? Is this a part of further projects, or is this in and of itself a sole project?
This is under Park and Rec. It's a Park and Rec project, and this is under shoreline erosion control budget money. So this. The money for this is only for erosion control. There's no other plans to do anything else except this.
With this $500,000 that this gentleman.
Yeah, we have no other projects to develop this park. We don't have any other projects. This is all we have right now. So,
yeah. Dr. Gucci, so you mentioned that there's going to be maintenance. You'll maintain the point lookout. Cove Road?
Yeah, usually, always, as for the contractor that comes in and does the work, they are responsible to maintaining the road in the same condition that it was found in during construction, and when they finish the construction, the road has to be in the same condition or better. That's part of the...
That's part of the budget?
Yep.
Okay.
It's called a contingency item, because there's not a set... sum of money because you don't know how much it's going to take to, but yeah, that's always a...
And then you mentioned about some of the wires and the trees, that those are my wires, so I want to make sure, you know, when they cut the trees down and everything, somebody will come out from BG&E, or how does that work? Could you explain that?
Yeah, we contact, well, the contractor, before he does any work, will contact Miss Utility, and they mark not only, nowadays they do, I know they're known for all the underground stuff, but nowadays they do the aerial as well. And usually the contractors take cones and put them out, and they're red instead of orange cones, so they let the drivers know that there's wires above, and they hang flags on the wires, and everything that comes in there will be low enough that it'll be able to get underneath and without bothering.
Yes.
Bill Blanchard, Friends of Hancock's Resolution. Right now, that piece of property is off limits to visitors in Hancock's. How long will that last? Because it's not very convenient to walk through there because of all the trees are down. Will that be mitigated, fixed, so it's going to be open to the public?
No. There's no plans to make it more accessible.
Following up on Bill's question, would there be any restrictions down the road to, we kind of have this vision of having a, not a macadam, but just a walking trail with some interpretive points. Would there be any restrictions on that kind of usage down the road?
There's nothing in the plan for that.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the only project we have.
Dealing
with erosion on the shoreline. That's all we have in the future as of right now. So.
Okay.
Yes?
So, will that the west lunchroom, not lunchroom, the access room, will he would be allowed to use that? It's not marked right now, but it is on the map. He will be allowed to use it.
That's a work in progress.
Not during construction.
Sunken, scalloped out wet area. And so that's kind of what, if somebody wanted to use that and walk down, you know, haul their kayak from wherever they park. There's no parking anywhere in a good vicinity, so they're hauling and bring them down. Once they get there, they'll be able to set in and paddle right down.
Are we listening to them?
Yeah, more typical is that people are launching at either Smallwood or Downs and
this is not
kayaking to Hancock's as a destination.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then they
return, and then returning to there. So we're
okay. We
are listed as a landing, not a launch.
Right. You're a destination.
Yeah.
I would think that I don't know anything about erosion, but I would think that some of the erosion on that shoreline is caused because the ground is higher toward the road coming in, and it comes down toward the water. So you're going to get erosion from wave action and storms and so forth. But there's also water draining down, and it occurs to me that maybe some of those trees falling into the water are because the bank is being eroded from the back, so to speak. So could there be an alternative solution to this?
So those soils that are out, the area out there on the point is very flat. It's not a big slope that the water's coming down
right. At
any kind of velocity.
But where the trees
and
have fallen in, that's kind of a pretty high
soil,
bank, right?
The soils in those woods are very sandy.
They are.
The water that hits that soil
drains down.
Is just going to drain through the soil. Unless we're getting, you know, a hurricane
right. Or
something like that.
So
if we're getting that kind of rain, we got bigger problems than what's
right. Coming
down.
Right.
So the evidence, the field evidence, with I showed you the picture of the tree with a big amount of roots underneath and the one that got thrown. The evidence is the wave action, the tidal action is sucking the sand, washing the sand off the beach and
right. Underneath
the trees.
Right.
And then it doesn't take anything to really blow them over. You know, they'll fall under their own weight if they're tilted a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's the bulk of the
erosion. I understand.
If it helps, we are seeing this throughout Anne Arundel County. This is all over the Chesapeake Bay. It's just everywhere, and it's the it's being caused by the tidal and wave action, generally speaking.
Well, having said that, if the county is going to budget $500,000 to do this, and with no other planning involved to do anything with that property, how did they come to choose that area of shoreline to spend $500,000?
Because that is the area of the most severe erosion. It's where we need to act to stop the erosion now. We're losing that much of Hancock's resolution every year. This area
resolution, not the county that brought.
Well, no.
That is the impetus for the.
No. Anne Arundel County Department of Recreation and Parks owns Hancock's Resolution Historic Farm Park. So this is an Anne Arundel County Recreation and Parks project.
We're a park facility. We're not.
I thought that Hancock's Resolution was a nonprofit.
There is a foundation. These folks are
right. Part
of
right. That
do activities at the park, but the park belongs to the people of Anne Arundel County.
So this property is considered part of the park?
This is
it
all
is park
county
property.
Prop-
park.
Sorry.
Did you have it? Yes, Rebecca Northup, what is the timeline that you're anticipating for the bid process for the contractors?
Well,
sorry, I got two questions, so I'll follow.
Yeah, that's okay. That's kind of based on when we get, so we don't bid anything out until we get our permits approved.
Okay.
Permit process can take
years.
Up to a year.
Yeah.
I'm anticipating, hopefully.
I thought you were lowballing it.
Yeah. I've had some take 2 years. I guess my best estimate is maybe 9 months from now. Because we're only in a 30% design as well.
Right.
So and we have to go all the way to construction documents and bid documents. So this is a very early stage of our design.
Once it goes out for bid, the contractors have 2 months to submit their bids?
Once it goes out to bid, from the start of the bid until a purchase order is awarded to a contractor, it takes 4 months.
And then we expect 6 months or so for construction.
So my next question is, so I'm the project manager for the Bayside Beach, Sandy Beach Restoration. We're doing something very similar, and we're in a very similar spot. So, but we're having to go for grant money. Our quotes that we've gotten, very similar, probably twice what you're budgeting. So do you anticipate you're going after grant money to help augment?
No.
No.
I mean, your project must be longer, though. A lot longer. I don't know.
What do you mean longer? Longer time-wise or longer?
More silks.
Yeah.
The length of the shoreline.
This is 400.
We're smaller.
I don't know who your estimator is or who your
we're doing a little bit more as far as, like, protecting from the wave action and stuff like that, because we've got a 30-mile fetch that we're being beaten with. So it's a lot of wave energy.
Yeah.
Then the follow-up question is, who's doing all your planning and designs? You are, okay.
Well,
okay,
not just me. I have people that work for me who actually know it.
And you're contracted by DCW? Okay. Thank you. I'm just trying to understand.
No, that's okay.
Yes,
sir. George Candelas, I was just wondering if there's going to be more traffic there, and probably more kayakers, more whatever. At the entrance off of Bayside Beach Road, there's a sign that says no motorized vehicles, county park property, going to dusk, it's closed. Can we get a couple more of those along that road that people that may want to come up?
Yes.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a problem.
See me right after this.
Okay. Is there any other questions?
Yeah, help me again. Help me to understand a little bit better this relationship and ownership of the property with respect to Hancock. It's my understanding that that property was purchased from St. John's Properties way back originally to be a housing development, and he decided not to develop that property. And subsequently, St. John sold that property to Anne Arundel County. And the money that the county used to buy that property from St. John was federal green money. So it's true that Anne Arundel County owns that property, but when you say it's part of the Hancock Resolution Park, in my mind, the Hancock Resolution Park is the 19 acres left by Mr. Hancock and his descendants and some area on the other side of Bayside Beach Road. But this particular stretch of property is owned by Anne Arundel County, but was purchased with green money to be left in perpetuity as a wild area. Am I wrong in any of that?
Well, I don't know how long ago that was purchased or what the funding source was.
I guess work on that. Yeah.
It belongs to the county. It doesn't matter where the money came from.
Well, it belongs to the county, but you said earlier that it belongs to Hancock's Park. Part of Hancock's
it
Park.
Is part of Hancock's Park.
Well, how did that happen?
The county owns all of that. Both of those parcels you see up there on the screen.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, I knew they got that from the Annapolis Historical Trust too. But
I mean, there's other parks that were this big, and then they purchased properties next to them, and they expand, and then they're all the same park.
Right.
So that's very normal for
a park. There's a difference when you purchase property from the county and when it's granted from the federal government.
Yeah, I mean, that was before our time.
So I guess the concern that a lot of us have that there's going to be mission creep, and that, you know, the expansion of the park, that this is just a first step, so to speak, in the expansion of the park.
No, sir. I can tell you, we don't want to go on this piece of property because of the cultural resources that are there underground. We have people from the paddling community that would love to see us open up more beaches and more opportunities, but there's important resources that we need to protect. So Recreation Parks has two missions here. One is to protect natural resources, and the other one is to protect the cultural resources. So we're not talking about building parking lots and pickleball courts.
Right.
We're going to construct a temporary access so we can fix our erosion problem, and then we're going to back out of there. As a matter of fact, and Rob didn't mention that in the course of the presentation, all of that matting and that stockpile area and that temporary access road, you take all that up as we come out of there.
Yeah.
There's no permanent walkway that's left in place or anything like that. No. We want this area to stay as untouched as it can be.
Well, I, for one, will say that I'm 100% behind anything that the Hancock Resolution people do to further that organization. And so they have my support, and everybody.
We're very lucky. We have a number of historic properties in the county that Recon Parks owns, but we have partner organizations. If you've ever been to historic London Town down in Edgewater, or if you've been to Linthicum Walks over in Crofton, those are county park properties, but there are friends groups, 501c3s, that operate them, take care of them. Wonderful partnerships. We can't have enough of them, because the county doesn't have the budget to do the kinds of things that our friends do.
Right. I understand.
Are there any other questions? Okay. Thank you, everyone, for coming to the meeting. Like I said, we do have plans. If anyone has any questions and wants to view the hard copy of the plans, I'm happy. Rob and I are happy.
We're not running out of here or anything like that. We'll hang out for as long as you all want to talk.
Well, not
here.
Everyone signed in, right?
We're not going to take out your power.
All right, thank you.
But we don't know how high above the ground.
Is there anything I can do, or is there an organization that I should be in touch with to tell them what I've learned over 50 years of living right there?
Bill.
That one?
Oh, Bill's the one?
Help this lady.
Okay, thanks.
This, Bill, it's a bird question. Who was asking about the website?
Oh.
Thought I heard somebody.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah, we need...
You got your...